Today on Movie World, as we talk about the Indian Film Festival of Los Angeles 2020. It's time for Movie Wallahs. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And yes, Dee as well.
Movie Wallahs is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Greetings.
Hello.
Hello, friends.
So, another socially distanced podcast, yes, Dee.
Mm-hmm.
Will we ever see you again?
I hope so. I sure hope so.
It's kind of weird. I mean, we're not going to talk about COVID this time, but yeah, I think there is signs of life. One of the benefits, I think, if you would call it that, of this whole lockdown is that film festivals have gone virtual.
Yeah, that's a huge advantage. We've been probably consuming more in quarantine than out of quarantine.
That's correct. I mean, I think every industry has had to contend with how to move ahead in the new world that we're suddenly placed in. And I think film festivals in particular have had a really daunting task, because the whole point of the film festival is to bring people together. So how do you deal with it when you're remote? And different film festivals have been trying different things, for sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure of the economics of it and how sustainable it is, but certainly in a year when, you know, these things ended up being cancelled at fairly late notice in many cases, they've done a good job of at least creating some presence for the film festival. I won't call it, you know, necessarily a true film festival experience, but, you know, Tribeca with initially just kind of a short program followed by, you know, a bit more. And they did give
the We Are One World one that came along. I know none of us had the bandwidth to watch any of those, but there was that one. Yes, you've been doing the Italian Film Festival of San Diego.
Yeah, the Italian Film Festival of San Diego just mentioned, Diana, who leads that group, just mentioned that actually they're doing more post-pandemic than they were actually before, because they have now, every Sunday, they have a discussion for a movie that everybody watches.
And, oh, wow. You know,
previously, they just did it once a month, and now it's every week. We are obviously here today for this podcast to talk about the, you know, embarrassment of riches that is offered by IFLA, the Indian Film Festival of Los Angeles. But just like that, I'm told that the Arab Film Festival also has a big selection of free movies that were previously shown. So if folks are looking for good content, there's so much right now.
Right. And I just heard that Toronto's doing an online as well. I just got an email.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I meant to forward it to you, Yazdi. But yeah, I just got an email saying that Toronto Film Festival is about to do an online program. So they've definitely cancelled the in-person now, which I think is probably what the rest of the year looks like. But with that, why don't we talk about IFLA, which we three have been a fan of for the longest time.
So, sure, yeah. I mean, IFLA's kind of an interesting film festival. It's the IFFLA, the Indian Film Festival of Los Angeles. And we've been, we've covered it two or three times for Movie Wallahs. It's, it was a really eye-opening film festival for me because, you know, going into it, I really felt, you know, it's kind of early on in Movie Wallahs. And I think unlike, you know, Rashmi and Yazdi, my knowledge of Indian cinema was very, very tainted by this whole, you know, the classic kind of 60s and 70s Bollywood paradigms, you know, 7-hour epically long movies with, you know, huge dance numbers and
people hiding in bushes.
Exactly, popping out and just
running behind trees, running around trees.
All of the kind of cliche stuff. So when we came to Indian Festival of Los Angeles, I won't say I came begrudgingly, but I came with kind of, you know, rolled eyes. And my very first experience of it was just mind-blowing. I think it really opened my eyes to what modern Indian cinema can be, the kind of things that are coming out of not just, you know, Bollywood, but a lot of Indian film production. Bollywood's the nickname for Indian film, but there's a lot of other, you know.
Well, it's a subcontinent.
There's a wide variety of films that come out of India that aren't just the standard Bollywood fare, but they're progressive, they're thought-provoking, they can be extraordinarily edgy. And it was all, you know, it's kind of a real exploration for me. So it's been a film festival that we followed ever since, and it's always such a treat. And so, interestingly, this year, because they did lose the opportunity to do a live film festival because of the pandemic, they've decided to do kind of a virtual showcase. They named it IFLA Over the Years, 17 days celebrating 17 years of Indian cinema. And it's all available at the IFLA website, which is www.indianfilmfestival.org. We'll post a link to it in the show notes. But, you know, in there, if you go to that link, there's all this content of various movies that they've showcased at the IFLA Film Festival, direct links. They're all on different platforms. So, you know, a lot of it is, you know, there's Vimeo, there's YouTube, there's some direct streaming. So there's all variety of things. But the point is, you can access this amazing
right now
of content. And it's going to be there, I think, until July the 5th. So recording here June 26th. I'll do my best to get this podcast out timely. You'll have a few days.
A week. You'll have a week. And we have also posted the link, Yazdi, thank you, on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. So you can access it from there as well.
Yeah, and I would like to say two things quickly. One is that, like you, Joseph, my experience at IFLA has just been amazing. You know, I'd say 9 out of 10 movies I've watched have blown me away. And so they do an incredible job curating what's available. And because it's the Film Festival of Los Angeles, and Los Angeles is, you know, the capital of Hollywood, as the world sees it, they're able to attract a lot of the talent. So, you know, they always have the filmmakers there as well. So for future, if we ever get past this pandemic, people should really look at IFLA. And then the other thing is this whole list of free movies that they're offering, which were shown at some time or the other in the 17 years of the film festival, a lot of these movies are just outstanding. I mean, they are not just good, they're outstanding. So I know there is many things which is vying for your time right now because everybody's at work and you have a little bit of time, you know, to watch other stuff. But the way I see it personally is it's a ticking clock. You know, we have only till July 5th to watch this amazing selection. And some of these movies will probably not be available on any of the routine, you know, VOD platforms in future again. So I urge people to really get to this.
And just to add to what you said there, these aren't just good Indian movies. These are good movies, period. And I think, you know, when we think about, you know, world cinema, we often say, well, that's not a bad foreign movie. That's not a bad, you know, movie for... These are just rock solid choices for anyone that loves film, period. So, you know, don't be put off if you don't think this is for you. Don't make the mistake that I did by, you know, pigeonholing all Indian cinema into kind of a stereotype. You really owe it to yourself to explore a few of these things.
So with that, why don't we get started, Yazdi? I know you and I have been busily working our way through a number of these movies. If you go onto the website, there's actually 126 offerings for you. 72 of them are shorts. And what they've done is a very nice job of putting them in different buckets. So you can even review them by documentary or family movies or society, stories of youth, etc., etc. So many different ways to view all the content and pick your best movies. But Yazdi and I are going to try and do a quick, efficient job of trying to tell you about some of our favorites that we've been watching. And Yazdi, I thank you for all the recommendations you give me because I did take them. And I'm going to start with one that I love that I know you loved as well, which is a short called Afterglow. And it's this beautiful little 20-minute short that feels as I always say, you know, good shorts make you feel like you've had a full meal. They have a good, you know, they really make you feel like you've been in the world for hours. But this is a beautiful little movie about a woman, a Parsi woman, who is at day number 10 of the mourning process of losing her husband. And Yasti, I just fell in love with these characters and I fell in love with the story and I wish there was more. So that was one of your recommendations and it was just divine.
Yeah, it left me begging for more as well. I could have easily watched, you know, a full movie with these characters. And I think it's because it's so heartfelt and this kind of stuff can get very maudlin. It can become very manipulative. You know, this movie doesn't want, I mean, this short doesn't want you to cry. It doesn't want you to feel miserable. It's just a very authentic little 20-minute piece of human beings and how we can't help being human beings in the worst of times and the best of times. And so, I was so moved by this that, Rashmi, I told you right away that you have to watch this. And it's 20 minutes of your time. It'll just make you leave you feeling not necessarily happy, but just at peace, I think.
Yeah.
Even the way it ends, it's just so perfectly done.
It really is. And so I would suggest if you want to have an amuse-bouche, maybe start with Afterglow, and this will give you a really nice overall impression of what else lies in this treasure trove of movies. So Yazdi, why don't you tell us about another one that you've loved?
So the other one that I loved, which may be my favorite of all the offerings that's on here right now so far, is one called Afternoon. In Hindi, it's Dopeher. It's another short. It's a short of actually a half hour. It's a 28-minute movie. And it stars a film actor who we haven't seen in a long, long time. If you guys remember the David Attenborough's Gandhi, the actor who played Gandhi's wife, Rohini Hattangare, she was actually nominated for Best Supporting Actress.
She was amazing in that movie.
She plays a character here about this kind of older woman who is living alone. And she has kind of a lot of severe arthritis and she's just getting by herself alone. And she somehow connects with this mobster who is kind of trolling the house across from hers in an effort to, you know, to catch someone and possibly do harm to them. And I must say that of all the genres in all of cinema, my absolute favorite is a well-done coming-of-age story. But behind that, my second most favorite genre is the genre of movies where two characters who would ordinarily not have anything to do with each other, they come together. And it doesn't have to be romantic. It doesn't have to be anything meaningful, but two unlikely characters just coming together. And this little short is about this young mobster and this old widow who kind of interact with each other. And you see the whole gamut of what might happen. It's realistic. It's heartbreaking. It's beautifully acted. Again, it left me wanting for more. And I think a lot of that rests on the shoulders of this amazing actress, Rohini Hattangare. And it's so lovely to see her. I really love that. So it's called Afternoon. It's half an hour. I would definitely recommend it.
Okay, another maybe starter for you. So that would be wonderful. Okay, the next one I wanted to talk about is a documentary. And I can't stop thinking about this movie for many reasons. It's called Ask the Sexpert. And I keep wanting to say Ask the Sexpert. Ask the Sexpert. And this is a documentary about a 93-year-old sex expert called Dr. Mahinda Watsa. And he basically writes a column for one of the daily newspapers. Why I love this movie is that it is a beautiful metaphor for what's going on in probably every country at the moment around conservatism and a progressive movement. And it sort of is this yin and yang about this older gentleman who was an OBGYN. And it seems like, you know, a country with a population of over a billion people needs some sex education and some advice. And of course, you know, India is very conservative and we don't often talk about these topics openly in our family environments. And so it's this wonderful documentary about an interesting person who does a really interesting job, and then someone who is younger, much younger, in their 40s, a woman who almost is repugnant about everything progressive and wants to hang on to the older ways of doing things and what should be public and what shouldn't be public. And so it's just this beautiful representation of a country, you know, on the precipice of becoming amazing. And yet, you know, something like sex education is so controversial.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a wonderful little slice of life right now in India. And I think it may shock a lot of people. Like you said, it's a country of a billion, so clearly people are doing it all the time. But nobody wants to talk about it. And there is a complete absence of sex education in most curriculum. I mean, it's zero. There's nothing. And, you know, kids grow up. They have hormones raging through them. They have genuine questions. And there's literally no source for getting proper scientific, caring information. And so people have to resort to writing to this column. And I think that column, I mean, I remember when I used to, the Mumbai Mirror, which is the column in which it appears.
I was going to ask you, did you ever read it?
I did. So the Mumbai Mirror has not been around forever. It's maybe been around for the last 15 years or so, but it's very popular. And I remember the first time I read it, I was shocked, because I think one of the great things the editor of that newspaper has done is they have made the decision from the very beginning that they are not going to mince any words. They are not going to use euphemisms. You know, they are going to use the right terminology for sex organs, for sexual acts, for sexual practices. And so it's, I wouldn't call it explicit, but it's very frank in terms of the question that is asked and the answer that is provided. And to this country, which is very repressed, you know, sexually, I can see how it comes across like a slap in the face. But this movie makes a case for how ideally it should be somebody young and energetic and somebody who explains sex to people in a clear, you know, non-scary, non-judgmental, non-guilt kind of way. But unfortunately, it has to be a 91-year-old man who does this right now with his 91-year-old.
And he's amazing. You know,
he's amazing. Yeah.
He's such a charming fellow, and he's got a fantastic sense of humor. I mean, God knows at 93, you must have to have one if you're writing a sex column. So what an amazing documentary. This one, I just can't get this one out of my mind.
I mean, I'm not a fan of the documentary itself. I mean, I wish it's a little too obvious where its allegiance lies, you know, in terms of whether it's more conservative or more progressive. And that woman that you talk about, there's actually like villainous music playing every time she appears on screen. So they don't try to be very objective, but this man will just win you over. I mean, he's 91 years old. He's not maybe the most up to date on things, but what he's doing is just beyond yeoman service. I mean, what he's providing is just incredible. And to know him, to know how his family is a little bit annoyed by what he does, he cannot help not helping people. He has to help anybody who literally shows up at his door.
Literally.
And they worry for his safety and so forth. And it's very sweet. I wanted to know more about him, where he grew up and how he came to become a gynecologist, what led him to this. And there is some of it, but, you know, it's a sweet, sweet film and very essential.
Yeah.
And okay, so much fun. Very entertaining.
So
I was giggling.
Good. So yeah. Good. Yes, your turn.
So a movie that I would like to recommend is one that I've been, you know, screaming that people watch for the last year. My throat is sore asking people to watch the movie Andhadhun, which means blind tune. This was a movie which was released last year. It stars the amazing Ayushmann Khurrana, who has been in so many amazing movies. And this is a movie about a murder that takes place, and the only quote-unquote witness to it is a person who is blind. And so the person who is the murderer is not sure if the person who is blind knows that this murder happened or not. And it's kind of a noir, but it's done with so much fun. It always keeps you on your toes. The script is one, has one, you know, it's always, you know, a couple steps ahead of you. I would go so far as to say the movie is almost too smart for its own good, but it's such a thrill. So I would really, really recommend the movie Andhadhun. I believe it's also streaming on Amazon Prime or Netflix. I think it's streaming on Netflix as well. But I'd say if you want to watch just one good Indian movie in this whole old batch, I would watch Andhadhun. It's classy, it's clever, it's smart, it's fast, it's a crime story, it's funny. It's the whole package.
Excellent. So I'm going to do two at once because they're related. One is the movie Outsourced, and then the documentary almost of the movie Outsourced is called Bombay Calling. So both of these are about the whole business of outsourcing and what happened back in the late 90s, early noughties, I guess is what you call them, when many businesses took part of their supply chain and moved them over to India, China, South America, etc. Anyway, so the movie Outsourced, I know, is one that we all love. It's very comedic. It's about an American man who has to go and train someone who's going to replace him in India and the experiences he has. And I think we all love that. And then the movie, the documentary, Bombay Calling, which, Joe, you watched with me.
I did, yeah.
Is really the documentary version of that, filmed much, much later. I think it's from 2016. But it really shows the impact of outsourcing on this growing middle class in India. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting, it seeing it from their perspective. So Outsourced, I think, is very much from a Western person who has to outsource their job. And then the documentary Bombay Calling is more about the recipients of those positions and what it's done to life and society and earning potential within India. So both amazing movies.
And I think Bombay Calling was actually set a little bit earlier than that. I think it was, that was really when telephony started getting so cheap, because remember, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when I was growing up, phone calls, international phone calls were like the kind of thing that you had to book. They were really expensive. And
now
then
you're showing your age.
I know, right? And then suddenly, when in the internet age, you know, we were able to effectively make these international connections, you know, I mean, now it's free. But this was that transition where companies realized they could very cheaply train people in other areas and handle the phone call center. So it was just a fascinating look at that journey too. It didn't necessarily go deep into the reasons for it, but clearly, you know, the impact on the people, their families, their lives, just I didn't actually sit down to watch it with Rashmi, but she pressed play in my presence and that was it. Done. I was in. Great stuff.
Yeah. And yes, yeah, if I'm not wrong, I think you had actually told us about Outsourced when it first came out.
Yeah, so there was originally this movie, yeah, when it had come out. And that movie is cute as all get
cute.
Out. It's so cute. It's funny. It has a wonderful heart. It's a romantic comedy in one way, but it has a lot of things to say about, you know, blending of cultures and so forth. And then actually, I think NBC picked up the rights to the movie, and they actually did at least one, maybe two seasons of a series, two seasons which played on NBC. I think maybe I want to say 2002-2003-ish. So so Outsourced has had quite a journey, but Outsourced, the movie, is definitely worth checking out. It's so cute.
Okay, next one. You can do the next one, Yazdi.
Sure. So what is not cute is the movie I'm going to recommend now. And actually, it's a five-hour epic, which is broken up into two parts. And it's called Gangs of Wasseypur Part 1 and Part 2. Each one is about 160 minutes in length. It is made by Anurag Kashyap, who, you know, is one of India's most foremost independent filmmakers, and he's had a lot of success with telling very unusual stories. And I think Gangs of Vasipur is maybe his most ambitious project to date. It has within its scope nothing less than 60 years through a particular village in India, which is beset by gangsters and money launderers and landowners and farmers. And it kind of brings home the point of how you carry the sins of your parents on your shoulders. Like, what happened to your grandparents continues to happen to your parent and continues to you. And once you're born into violence, it's very difficult to get out of it. And it kind of makes the point about how once violence or you know, the mafia or the mobster scene kind of infiltrates into your family, it takes generations to get out of it, if at all possible. And it has amazing star cast. Nasiruddin Shah is in it. Manoj Bajpayee is in it. Nawazuddin Siddiqui is in it. It's not a fun movie. It's not a light movie. It's it has like this sprawling cast of characters over multiple generations. But boy, if you want to settle down for something for five hours, or even want to break it up into little 1 hour things over, you know, every night of a week, you'll just come away with this with a real understanding of the, you know, the confluence of politics in small town India and corruption and police brutality and the mobster scene and all of that. It plays out beautifully. It's very, very ambitious in scope and very well rendered. So Gangs of Vasipur.
Always been on my list to watch, Yazdi, but I've been frightened and it's been difficult to get a hold of. So again, I have not seen this on any streaming platform up until now, and so I am going to make this part of my to-do list over this coming weekend to watch both these parts. It's intimidating, right? 5 hours of movie.
Yeah.
But I've heard great things about it, and I'm very interested. And I think what's, you know, as we talk through each of these movies, as we talk through them, Yazdi, and certainly my experience of watching them is that all of these topics are so relevant to what's happening now in the world, right?
Yeah.
Outsourcing, yeah. This movement of conservatism and progression and gangs and violence and kind of what you're born into and what your destiny kind of is made exactly. Before you even have a choice to make it. So I think as I kind of talk through a lot of these, they're just so interesting. And actually along the same lines of Gangs of Vasipur is another movie which I know you've watched, Yazdi, is Titli, T-I-T-L-I, which means butterfly. And it's
right.
Also along the same themes, and it's so good. It's about the youngest brother of three who is also in a gang type, you know, family and wants to escape that. And just can't seem to escape that. And that's a really good movie. Very gritty, not fun, but super interesting. And again, another lens to see Indian movie by.
Yeah.
There's nothing Bollywood about that movie at all.
No. And I think I know I'm guilty of this. I kind of get complacent with my own life and my own perspective and my own sense of outrage at things. And I think it's helpful to see how in a very different part of the world with a very different group of people, your concerns and fears are not even close to theirs because their whole environment is so different and they are dealing with such different issues. And so I think it lets you get away, you know, temporarily and literally live somewhere else for a short period of time. And that's very refreshing.
I love movies like that.
Okay, next, I'm going to switch us up. Yazdi, I'm going to go for two of the animations. I know you've seen one. I haven't seen the other one. This is a movie that literally blew me away. It's called yes. Sita Sings the Blues, and it's an animation, and I'm going to try and describe it to you. And Yazdi, I will ask for your help.
Sure.
It is basically an animation of one of the holy books or one of the very revered biblical type books of Hinduism called the Ramayana. It is a retelling of that mixed with 1920s jazz music. And it may be one of the best things I have ever seen for the fact that it works. It shouldn't work. I had to actually come and show Joe one of the scenes, at which point he said, this looks like a fever dream. It looks batshit crazy. It looks like you literally have taken mushrooms. But please stick with it. It is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, even the style of animation is something to behold. I mean, the character of Sita is almost looks like a Betty Boop. You know what I mean?
Yes.
She's so voluptuous.
It's very sexy. It's a very, you know, I mean, as we were talking about the Ask the Sexpert, Yazdi, the funniest thing to me is that India is the origin of the Kama Sutra.
I know.
Right? And yet there's this repression. But this particular telling of this holy story, and remember, this is the story of Diwali, the festival of lights. I'm not going to get into the story because we'd be here forever. But there's actually three types of animation going on. There's like an understory about a couple living in San Francisco. There's the kind of the regular story of the holy book that's being told by three friends who are kind of sitting around drinking coffee, it seems, kind of like we do. It would be like us telling the story. And it's hilarious. And then there's this very sexy, jazzy, bluesy segment where the songs come on, and the songs are great. And it just works.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to make a very respectful adaptation of a holy book, but I think to kind of have the courage to kind of set it with a very different visual look and definitely a very different audio version. I mean, and to kind of, because if it fails, it's going to fail phenomenally. But to put it all together in a totally different, you know, photo lens, it's quite something. Yeah. It is a fever dream.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. I'm planning to watch it because Rashmi really, you spoke so highly of it for like the 24 hour period after watching it that, you know, it seemed to me that this is filmmaking like I haven't heard or seen of before.
Well, it's animation crazy. Like I've never seen before, right? Like we marvel at Pixar and Pixar's ability to tell a story in a very emotional human way, right? That there's that type of animation. And then you get things like, you know, The Little Prince, or you get things which are different.
This offbeat.
And then they're like, what was the one with the hand that we all loved? I lost my body, which again is a completely different type of animation. And so I think, I've never seen an Indian movie or anything Indian done as an animation. And then to see something like the holy book, a holy book that's really revered, done in this way. I mean, Joe was asking me, you know, will people think it's blasphemous? And sure, you can choose to see it that way. I didn't choose to see it that way. And certainly I was saying, this is definitely not something I would recommend to my aunts or uncles, because they would just look at it and go, what the hell are you watching? Like, what are we watching here? But I recommend this to anyone who loves movie for the joy of movie, because this is such a joyful animation. And again, just to see these three styles intersect into something is just truly amazing. I can't wait to get my hands on a copy of this and watch this again. Okay, and then Yazdi, I wanted to give you a room to talk about Lights for Gita, which is a short animation.
Yeah, it's only 7 minutes long, and it's about this little girl who grew up in Punjab. She comes from a Punjabi family and, spending Diwali, the festival of lights, at home in Punjab was such a big deal. And, you know, how her grandmother would always, you know, light the lamps, and they would make all these things. And suddenly the family moves to Canada, and Diwali happens to fall in the middle of a snowstorm, and, you know, their lights go out, and, you know, how are you going to celebrate Diwali then? And so it's a little heavy-handed.
Oh, I like that.
But it's very sweet. It has a great message. It's about adaptation more than anything else. Like, you can go to another place and assimilate with their customs while still holding on to your own, and how to walk that fine line between what you want to retain from your cherished memories when you are when you have grown to a different place. So there's nothing breakthrough about the animation. There's nothing particularly breakthrough about the story itself, but it's only 7 minutes long. It's very kind-hearted. It's sweet. So if you have 7 minutes, watch Lights for Geeta.
And I was going to say, yes, as you describe it, isn't that really the immigrant experience?
Yeah,
you take
absolutely.
What you take what you love from the country that you come from and you bring it to somewhere else, and eventually it gets polluted or adapted or changed or even improved.
Yeah.
So I think that sounds beautiful. I'll definitely give that. And of course, look, it matches. It's the impact of Diwali that we just spoke about in Sita Sings the Blues, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, if I may continue with another twofer. They're both shorts and they're both absolutely lovely. One, and the reason why I'm jumping ahead is because there's another short, which is only about 15 minutes long. It's called Gabru or Youthful. And instead of this little girl in an animated story, this is the story of a thin, gawky, sick boy in US, and he wants to be cool and he wants to fit in on social media and he wants to make a big deal about, you know, getting more fans and likes and so forth. And he has long locks of hair because the Sikh tradition requires you to have the hair, which you put in a turban. And he gets ready to cut his hair off. He decides that, you know, he wants to cut his hair off. And you know, you can expect that that's such a big, you know, religious transgression, and you know how things turn out for him. It's a little rough around the edges, but it's just absolutely delightful. Everybody in his family, a Punjabi family who are around him, who encourage him, who discourage him. It's all beautiful, and the lead actor is just a complete find. So I would recommend that. And then the other short I would recommend is one called Ginger. Like the ginger that you eat. And it's 6 minutes long. Earlier this year, all of us, I think, saw the movie Photograph, which
yes.
is one of our favorite movies. And it's about this man who is a professional photographer around the gateway of India. Well, here is another story about a man who, exactly like that character, is somebody who takes pictures of people at the gateway of India. And within 6 minutes, a certain series of events happen. Beautifully done, wonderfully acted, great plot, positive and hopeful. I really loved it.
In 6 minutes. Ginger. Isn't it crazy, Yasti?
In only six minutes. Yeah. This is what's remarkable about these filmmakers. Kudos to them. So, Rashmi, why don't you go on?
Okay, so Yasti, I'm going to talk about another movie that you and I saw actually at the San Diego Film Festival, which was also shown at IFLA that same year, I believe. And it's called Miss India America. And
yes.
It is a delightful coming of age comedy, beautifully acted, all in English, about, you know, a culture clash, mm-hmm. growing up as an immigrant in another country, about what we choose to take with us, about norms, about who you are and who you are destined to become. Beautiful, funny, interesting movie, Miss India America.
Yeah, it's just fun in a bottle. It's cute. It's very cute. It'll put a smile on your face the whole time. Okay, so I will go next. Yeah, I will go next. Do you have another one, Rashmi?
I was going to ask you and Joe to talk about Foreign, which I remember you guys watched, I didn't, and you were raving about it.
Yes. So before we get to Foreign, Joe, let me talk about one more movie, which... You know, we have been so fortunate to go to many, many film festivals over the years and watch, I don't know, hundreds of movies by this point. But of all my film festival experiences, there have been few which are, you know, ahead of everything else. And I think my one of my best festival watching experiences was for the movie called Margarita with a Straw. I saw it at the Toronto Film Festival. And I was just absolutely blown out of the water by this movie, because this movie is truly demonstrates the promise of Indian cinema. I think Indian cinema for the longest time has been kind of dragged into the same old tired cliches and the same old stories. And, you know, but when Indian cinema can be authentic and brave, and not just brave for the sake of pushing envelopes, but truly to kind of present a different world and a different, literally walking in somebody else's shoes, it can be a thing of just rapture. I mean, I was rapturous after I saw this movie, and this movie breaks grounds on every level. The main character of the movie is a teenager who has cerebral palsy. She cannot move on her own. She cannot talk very well. And yet she's presented as a beautiful, joyful, and surprisingly sexual creature. She's somebody who her handicap doesn't limit her needs and her want to interact with the world. And her parents, she actually gets admission to university in New York, and her parents very, very grudgingly let her, you know, move to New York. And the movie is about how being on her own opens her up to new possibilities. And she falls in love with a guy, and she also is sexually attracted to another woman, and she has to figure out where she is in terms of defining herself. And it's just about her independence as somebody with a physical disability. And the lead actress is just, you know, she won the jury award year for best actress. You have to see her to believe her. I mean, this movie is just something else. I think it's probably on my list of the best movies made ever. So Margarita with a Straw is, it's like, I can't tell you enough good things about it.
Yeah, and if it's not coming across to our listeners, I mean, Yazdi, I know this has had such a profound effect on you ever since you watched it, and I know you mention it every opportunity you can. So again, I feel like this is one that's very difficult to get a hold of. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, now's your chance, which is great. So thanks for that. So why don't you guys talk about Foreign, because that's one I haven't seen that I am looking forward to watching.
So Foreign is a movie which I think, Joseph, you and I watched at yes. IFLA several years ago.
Right? We did. I think it was probably our first IFLA. It was 2013
in release. Our first
foray. Yeah.
Yeah, our first foray. And we honestly, I don't even know why we picked it. We I don't know.
Probably
maybe
because you didn't want to watch the one I was going to drag you to otherwise.
Right. So I know, Rashmi, you went and saw something else, and then Joseph, Joe and I watched Foreign, but I don't know what it is. There's so many amazing Indian movies which have a really young protagonist, like somebody who is like 9 or 10 or 11 years old. And in this case, it's a little boy who is of that age, and his name is Foreign. And he kind of develops this, I wouldn't say crush necessarily, but just a genuine fondness for his teacher. She's a new teacher who has come to the school. And she also has a genuine interest in him and wants to see him succeed. And the movie kind of plays with the stories of both of these characters, and especially with the teacher who kind of gets embroiled in, you know, crime against her wishes, and kind of follows her story through. The movie is completely unexpected at every point. You really don't know where it's going. It doesn't even have the usual arc. You know, the act one, act two, act three, but it's so thoroughly enjoyable. It's like being on a glorious ride. It's beautifully acted. It feels authentic. And you just come out of the movie feeling like sated and happy. I don't know about you, Joe.
Yeah, no, Yazdi. I mean, you said it earlier in that some movies just transport you to a different time and place. And this isn't necessarily a different time, but it's definitely a different place. And you know, we spent a couple of hours in the company of this movie and found myself just in this little boy's world. I mean, it's very much shot from his perspective, his view of the world. As we talk about what Indian cinema can be, you know, you said that about Margarita with a Straw. This is a very, very small, intimate little movie. It's, you know, Bengali. It's not done with a high budget. It's not done with any kind of, you know, fanciful costumes or anything. I mean, but you really do enter this world and this life of this little boy for a couple of hours. It's a coming of age story in that, you know, he's understanding of the world at the beginning of the movie and the at the end of the movie is different. We go on that journey with him, and yeah, in many ways, I mean, what was that movie a couple of years ago with Dev Patel? Yeah, the separated.
Oh, the lion.
The lion. It feels that the kid on his own could have been inspired very much by this character. They're very different movies. I don't want to say that, but I had that same level of connection with the young protagonist in this as I did in Lion. So yeah, lovely little film, and yeah, it's remarkable that it stayed with me as much as it has in the years since I've seen it.
Lovely. Okay, I'm going to make sure I watch that. And I'm actually in the middle of watching something that sounds very similar. Young protagonist. This movie is called Chippa, Chippa. And basically, it tells the story of this little boy who, on the eve of his 10th birthday, is given a mysterious letter written to him by his long-absent father. And then this boy, basically, the letter's written in Urdu, which no one around him can read. And so it's a story about a boy who's basically trying to get this letter read and the people that he encounters along the way. So it's almost like, it's not fantastical, but I want to say it's kind of one of those old stories that you remember like a fable almost. But it's done in present day, and it's just what I've seen so far I'm super impressed with. But it's a great point you make, Yazdi. A lot of these movies are young actors who are phenomenal at conveying incredible emotion and range. And I don't know if that's just because it's cheap labor or that, you know, these are genuine, you know, coming of age stories. I mean, there was a year, and it's not here, unfortunately, the three of us watched this and fell in love with this incredible movie about a Dalit boy, an untouchable boy, and the movie's called Fandry. Unfortunately, that's not on this list.
But Fandry was streaming on Netflix at least late last year. I hope it's still on Netflix.
Okay, well, maybe we'll do a check, and if Fandry is there, that's also worth your time, as is another delightful movie that we loved, and I've been searching for it, which is the movie Elizabeth Ekadashi about the two kids who kind of have a bike that's like a member of their family. So again, you're right, there are a lot of movies about these young protagonists, and they're just so good. Okay, Yazdi, your turn. You can do another one.
Yeah, so I'm actually going to cheat and do like three movies. By the way, this movie, Chippa, is also on Netflix right now. Unfortunately, Fandry is no longer on Netflix. Aww. So I just checked. Yeah, which is a shame.
Poo, really.
So I'm going to talk about three movies which are relatively well known. In fact, by way of they got decent releases in India, and they were pretty well regarded, at least critically. The first one is the movie Trapped, which, remember Joe and Rashmi, we had seen this movie called Buried.
Yes.
With Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
Trapped in a, you know, he's thought to
coffin.
Be dead.
Yes.
And left in a coffin, buried under the ground, and his cell phone's dying, and he has to figure out, you know, how to get help before he literally is buried alive. So Trapped has a similar premise. It's about one character played by the wonderful Shahid Kapoor, and it's about him in a high rise which is not yet completely built, and while he's in the high rise, one day, you know, the electricity gets cut off from there. And the lower parts, the lift which takes him up to the construction area cannot go up anymore. So he's trapped up there without food, without electricity, without water on this high rise. There's no way for him to get down, and he has to somehow figure out, you know, how to survive or how to escape from that. And it's beautifully put together. It's really good. It's really smart in terms of how he has to use his wits to gather help for that. So I would definitely recommend Trapped, a really fun, well-made masala movie. And then the two others, which are also very well regarded in Indian cinema, are, they're both here, they're both made by the same director, and they are Omkara and Makbul.
Which are remakes of? my
which
favorite.
Are remakes of Othello and Macbeth.
Mr. And William Shakespeare.
William Shakespeare's. So the same director, he made three movies. So they were all kind of Indian adaptations of Macbeth, Othello, and Hamlet. And they're called Makbul, Omkara, and Haider. So two of those three are on this list here. They're available for free. And both of them star the wonderful, wonderful
Irfan Khan,
who passed away unexpectedly last month. I think if you have time just to see one, I would recommend Omkara. Omkara is probably the most accomplished of all three of those. All three were directed by Vishal Bhardwaj. Omkara plays like the Indian godfather. It has got an amazing star cast of brilliant actors. Again, all set in this town, which has overlapping allegiances and different warring, you know, families, which will not stop at any degree of violence to get what they want. Had somebody told you would not even realize that this is the adaptation of Shakespeare's Othello. Beautiful music, gorgeously picturized, just a well-realized, beautiful Hindi movie, Omkara. I would definitely recommend that.
Wow.
Oh my God, how am I going to find all the time?
Yeah.
So I'm going to recommend another documentary. It's called Reason, and it comes in two parts. It's probably about 3 hours, just over 3 hours of watching time between the two. And Reason is a really scary, interesting, important documentary to watch because it tells about, again, the push and pull of conservatism and progressiveness in real time. And it's about the politics of India, about the caste system, about how potential corruption. You know, it could be another day on CNN, to be honest, as you watch it, but based in India. So I didn't know much about Hinduism in its extreme version. And it talks about what's been going on there in the last probably 10 to 15 years. Yasdi, I really want you to watch it because I want to talk to you about it.
I know you've recommended it to me and I haven't gotten around to it. I really need to.
So yeah, Reason part one and part two.
Okay. And then I'm going to recommend the movie Udaan, which means flight, U-D-A-A-N. And again, nothing like your typical masala movie on a topic that we rarely ever see presented, you know, as the main focal point of a movie. The movie Three Idiots, which we all love, which, by the way, is also streaming on Netflix and you should absolutely watch. One of the side plots in Three Idiots deals with how the typical aggressive Indian parent will push their kid to any extreme to get them to be successful.
Right.
And
welcome to my life.
but
and
you know,
yours, right, Yasdi?
And mine. And
in fairness, you are both successful.
Thank you.
We are. And I'm fortunate in that my parents knew just the right amount of pushing. They never pushed me to an extent where it became it became the kind of psychological horror of just like you don't want to live because you're scared that you're going to constantly disappoint your parents. And Udaan is the story of this boy, this teenager who is going to kind of an army kind of training school. And his father happens to be a very high up army professor. And he will... It's a question of prestige for him. He will not have his son fail at that. And the kind of pressure that this father puts on his son, using everything that he has, you know, emotionally, pushing this kid. And it's about, you know, at what point does the pressure from your parents become, you know, too much? I mean, it kind of almost reminds me of, what was that movie?
Whiplash.
Whiplash, yes, it almost reminds me of Whiplash. But Udaan is, again, a beautiful movie. I happen to have the The soundtrack for that movie, which I play in my car all the time, beautiful music, just a wonderfully wrought coming-of-age story about this teen boy who is a poet, and you know he wants to kind of pursue writing, but he happens to be born in a family of, you know, army generals, and what you're going to do.
Wow.
So beautiful.
So take us to the finish line, Yazdi. Final choice.
So, God, there are so many movies. Let me, you know, we've already talked about a lot of these. I'm quickly scrolling through the list here to see if there's any that I have missed. Yeah, okay, I will end with a sweet one, which actually I think was shown at the San Diego Asian Film Festival a couple years ago, and it's called The Tiger Hunter. And it's the cutest, sweetest movie. It's set in 1970s Chicago, and it deals with a young boy who has moved from India and is trying to assimilate into the American culture in the 70s. And it's the fish out of water story, and it never tries to be, you know, too heavy. It never tries to, you know, have, you know, show epiphanies, but in its own sweet, charming way, it talks about the difficulty of immigration and the difficulty of assimilation in a new culture. And it's very sweet in that, you know, he lives with two other guys who have also moved from India. They're all doing very small time jobs, you know, in Chicago in the 70s. And he wants to woo this very rich Indian girl, and the three of them concoct a scheme to kind of to woo this woman. So there's almost something Shakespearean about it as well, in terms of, you know, these fools trying to make this girl fall in love with this boy, and you know his rival is this vain, super rich guy who's almost comical. It's all very sweet and cute and very nicely done. It's called The Tiger Hunter.
Not to be confused with Tiger King.
Correct.
Which is streaming on Netflix.
That's something very different altogether.
Very, very different.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So I think we've probably talked about 20 something movies, and there's still, remember, 126 in the list.
You know, I love what they've done here, and you know, I mean, this seems to me to be, you know, a highly curated set of movies from, you know, 17 years of this little, you know, fairly low profile in, you know, film festival that, you know, again, the marvelous thing about what they do there is they're really good at sifting through what must be a minefield of, thousands of entries, and they pick beautiful movies. And, you know, this is almost like a distillation of the best 17 years. So, you know, props to IFLA for doing this. You know, it's something that I'm proud to be able to share with everyone, that, you know, this is a beautiful little film festival, wonderful little opportunity. You know, you have, I'll try and get this podcast out within the next day or two, so that gives you about a week or so to check these out if you're listening to this. Go see some of this content.
Yeah, just because you'll never get the opportunity to watch this again. I'm literally going to leave this podcast and go upstairs and put the TV on and start watching.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's really simple. It's indianfilmfestival.org. And there is a link to all of these movies. There's something, you know, if you have only 7 minutes, there is something amazing for you. If you have 5 hours, there is something amazing for you. If you want something funny, it's there. If you want something heartfelt, it's there. If you want a documentary, there's there. If you want a more commercial Indian movie, there is there. There's Shakespeare adaptations. There is animation.
All right, Yazdi, we get it.
Here. There is everything here. Go watch it.
I thought Yazdi was going to name every genre under the sun.
I thought he was going to burst a blood vessel.
I know. No, I love your enthusiasm. Movies. I think we've been talking about IFLA for a few years, and I'm just so happy that everyone gets the opportunity to watch this.
All right, yes, so definitely. let's bring it in. Oh, and we have our official Movie Wallah's dog there with little Miss Sawyer showing up on the podcast. So I'll take a screenshot. Yeah, so you're going to have to pose. 3, 2, 1. Off we go adorable. On our Instagram.
Yes, Sawyer likes to watch the movies too. She sits right next to me.
I bet you have good snacks.
Yes, I do.
So, something to be grateful for in these times. Film festivals at home with our pets.
Absolutely. Yes. No better way.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening. I'll do my best to put links to as many of these in the show notes. Hopefully that's been of use to people. In the podcast entries now, I try and bookmark the movies as we go through, as well as so you don't have to listen to the whole podcast if you want to remind yourself about a particular movie in future, as well as, you know, links, direct links to where you can access them. So thank you for your listening. Thank you for your support. We hope that these podcasts are useful in these times, and you should probably turn this off now and start watching IFLA. So until next time, it's Too Many Movies, Too Little Time. A goodbye from me.
And me.
And me as well.